the Apostle. One of the most fascinating things about the ministry gifts, and the gifts of helps and governments listed in the Bible, is their variety and spiritual balance. The first groups of these spiritual gifts are the chief gifts of administration or preaching leadership gifts. There are five of these chief spiritual gifts of administration, and they are called the fivefold ministry gifts. The first fivefold ministry leadership gift office we will study is the office of the apostle. In the position of order established by God, the office of apostle is the highest fivefold ministry leadership gift office in the body of Christ. This office imparts the essence of foundational integrity, strength, and balance to the body of Christ, while embracing and assisting in the establishment of every ministry gift in its proper operation and order. The thumb finger of the hand is comparative of the apostle. The word apostle means one sent forth, a sent one, a messenger. A true apostle is always one with a commission, one who is sent by God, not one who merely goes, but one who is sent. Jesus was the first apostle, and he is the perfect example of what an apostle is, what an apostle does, and how he does it. The word apostle means one sent forth, a sent one, a messenger. The Greek word apostolos, translated apostle, means one sent forth, a sent one. A true apostle is always one with a commission, not one who merely goes, but one who is sent by God or sent by someone who God sent. This and the other four chief leadership gifts are chief ministry offices hidden within flesh and blood, men and women expressly given, or set in the church for the perfecting of the members of the body of Christ. The church is equipped and prepared corporately for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This denotes completing, finalizing, or preparing fully others for the work of the ministry. The church cannot reach perfection or spiritual maturity without the proper operation of all of the spiritual gifts. The chief ministry leadership gifts, or the fivefold ministry gifts, represent the main spiritual perfecting instruments of the church. The Bible gives us the true time frame for the end of the church's need of apostles and the other chief ministry leadership gifts. They are to operate until the entire body of Christ is perfected, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. The apostle ministry gift was not set in the church by man. It was given to the church by God through the redemptive work of Jesus, the Christ. Jesus led captivity captive and gave the gifts to men or the church. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some to some men apostles, and some to some men prophets, and some to some men evangelists, and some to some men pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4:8, 11. Jesus started the church with 12 apostles. The first 12 apostles chosen by Jesus are also known as the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The original 12 were sent ones, to be eyewitnesses of the ministry, the works, the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. They qualified for a designated order of apostleship that no apostle or ministry operating after his resurrection can ever fulfill. The apostle is the first ministry leadership gift mentioned for the perfecting of the saints after the ascension of Jesus Christ. The Bible does not limit the list of the ministry leadership gifts to just one or two. They were all given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This includes the apostles. The apostle is needed today in the church just as much as it was needed in the beginning of the church. They were all given for a specific purpose, and to accomplish a specific goal. There was a specific time given for their length of service, that is, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Some teach today that the ministries of the apostles and prophets were necessary for the foundation of the early church, but had ceased to exist after the ascension of Christ. The apostolic calling in people's life cannot be fulfilled or seasoned properly in that body of believers, because they do not believe that the office is still in operation today. There are 26 apostles mentioned in the New Testament that were called after the resurrection of Christ. Most of them, like Paul, were not Jesus' disciples while he physically walked the earth. They were called out of due time or season. You must realize the importance of the revelation knowledge and understanding of your spiritual covering concerning what office God has called you to. True apostles will operate at a level of revelation knowledge that confirms their close private communion with Christ. Apostles eradicate all arguments of doubt and unbelief through their personal life-altering examples and demonstrations of faithful obedience to Christ and all that He represents. Their lives represent the very foundation of the rudiments of faith and belief in an exalted Christ. The apostles' anointing embraces, complements, establishes, and enhances all other fivefold ministry leadership gifts. Although apostles can operate in each anointing of the other fivefold ministry leadership gifts to perfection, it is usually only seasonal or temporary. Signs, wonders, and mighty deeds are also trademarks of the apostles. 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs, and wonders, and mighty deeds. Apostles also have the supernatural anointing for spiritual order and organization. Apostles do not automatically have the power to exercise authority over every church. They can only exercise authority over the churches they have established, or those that desire their apostolic covering. 1 Corinthians 9:1-2. The office of the apostle is not just a name or title, but it is the all-encompassing power to build, strength, establish and establish churches and church leadership in order, faith, truth, and righteousness. True apostles possess the mind and spirit of Christ in signs and wonders, humility and sacrifice, recognition by the people they have founded in the faith, recognition by other apostles. The most important foundational leadership element in the progress and growth of the body of Christ is the apostolic anointing, they are used of God to impart fresh revelation to the local church. Galatians 1:11-12, 15-17. They bring forth and develop other ministries. They are flexible to move in other ministry leadership anointings. The anointing of the apostle is needed today to preach and teach foundational truth, bring about ministerial correction, establish local churches. This not only involves laying the foundation, but confirming the people in the faith and ordaining elders, provide oversight and judgment, place ministers where they will do the most good, ordain church leadership and impart gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you are called to be an apostle, you will not start out operating in the fullness of that office. Acts 13:1-4. Do not let your focus be on the name or the title apostle. God is faithful and He will train you up in the fullness of what He has called you to do. Remember, God is the one who sets you in your office. There are many rebellious, mean-spirited dictators that have decided that they are apostles. They are usually filled with greed, selfishness, and rebellion. They harp about order and submission, yet they believe themselves above submitting to anyone. The first sign of danger is when they begin to proclaim not needing a spiritual covering of accountability. Another dangerous sign is for them to claim a spiritual covering of accountability, and operate or act contrary or in opposition to that spiritual covering. How can two walk together except there be agreement? This is no mystery, because the Bible tells us Satan of himself is transformed into an angel of light. God rewards faithfulness, not an office. An apostle will not receive any more of a reward when his work is finished than a sanctified floor sweeper. God does not reward us for what is our duty, as required by the office he has called us to. The higher offices do not receive or merit greater rewards. There is just greater duty or responsibility. Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. There is also the requirement of greater humility and servanthood. The prophet. The second fivefold ministry leadership gift is the office of the prophet. The pointing finger of the hand is comparative of the prophet. The Hebrew meaning of the word prophet is seer. The Greek word is prophets, which means a foreteller, an inspired speaker, one who speaks forth or openly. This office speaks, inspires, ignites, and edifies the body of Christ, operating through direct divine inspiration and revelation from God. The ministry office of prophet is the oldest and longest operating ministry leadership gift today. There is more information and understanding provided about this office than any other office mentioned in the Bible. The office of the prophet was first manifested in the life of Enoch, the father of Methuselah, in the book of Genesis. Genesis 5:21 to 24, Jude 13 to 15. Noah, Abraham, and Moses were just a few of the early prophets. The prophets were the highest office of ministry in the Old Testament. There were actually schools of prophets. On several occasions during the Old Testament, the prophets numbered in the thousands. Prophets are responsible for writing most of the Old Testament. They represented the supreme source of a word from the Lord. They were the mouthpieces of God communicating the words of God to men. Hebrews 1:1, James 5:10, 2 Peter 1:20 to 21. In the New Testament, the office of the prophet is also a foundational gift ordained to operate in conjunction with the office of the apostle. The prophet speaks spontaneously or with a sudden inspiration or revelation of the mind of God, as he is moved upon by the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew word for prophecy means literally to flow forth, to bubble over like a fountain. In Old Testament times, the prophet was called a seer. The prophet saw in the spirit, natural scenes depicting spiritual realities. The Old Testament prophets were the mouthpieces of God responsible for giving divine leadership and guidance to God's people. They were the main source of direct divine instruction from God. Only the kings, priests, and the prophets experienced the tangible presence of God. The prophetic office today is not the main source of divine leadership and guidance, as it was in the Old Testament. We are under the New Testament, which means all of God's people have access directly to God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit teaches, leads, and guides all believers today in the things of God. Today we are commanded to study and believe God's Word. The command to study and believe God's word does not hinder nor eliminate the need for the advent of direct utterance and revelation from the office of the prophet. There is a distinct difference in the office of prophet and the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is not reserved or limited to any one particular ministry office or calling. All may prophesy, but all are not prophets. 1 Corinthians 12:10 says that God has given to some the gift of prophecy. This gift is the simple gift of prophecy, not the ministry gift of prophecy. This gift of prophecy is different from the ministry gift of a prophet. According to 1 Corinthians 14:3, this simple gift of prophecy that operates in the church assembly is limited to general edification, exhortation, and comfort of the body. If a person begins to give an individual prophecy of personal direction to someone, that falls into the ministry of a prophet, and is different from this simple gift of prophecy. For example, believers wouldn't allow people called to the office of a teacher to interrupt a service and just start teaching. That would be out of order. Teachers should make themselves known to the pastor, and if given the authority, then they could teach. Likewise, for people to minister direction or future events to an individual or the whole body and claim that it is a prophecy are out of order. That would be the ministry of a prophet, and prophets should be recognized by the pastor, just as teachers would have to be. This simple gift of prophecy that Paul was describing here will never be a lengthy teaching, a rebuke, or a warning. That's the ministry of a prophet. This will just be words of encouragement from the Lord along the lines of, "Children, I love you. I've received your praise. I'm present to minister to you," etc. Failure to understand the difference between this simple gift of prophecy and the ministry of a prophet has led to some strange things being called words of prophecy in many churches. Some people actually prepare teachings during the week and deliver them as prophecies in church. Others use prophecy as an opportunity to rebuke someone, or to vent their own prejudices, or to put in their two bits about what the church should be doing. None of those things are the gift of prophecy that Paul was describing here. Prophets are not possessors of a gift, they are the gift. Here are a few distinguishing signs of the prophetic office. There will be a consistent stream of prophecy and a strong, consistent manifestation of the three revelation gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:8. 10- There will be various experiences and levels of spiritual manifestations, trances, dreams, open and closed visions. Acts 10:3-8, 10-16, 11-27-28, 16-9-10, 21-8-11- There will be a strong anointing to stir the hearts of the people to arise for God. Acts 15:30-32. There will be refreshing revelations of God's Word and an ability to bring forth fresh meat to the church. Ephesians 3:5, Amos 3:7. Their main purpose is assist the apostles in bringing life to unity and maturity to the church. Ezekiel 37:8-10, 4:12-16. There will be a confirmation of callings and the impartation of spiritual gifts. Acts 15:32, 1 Cor 14:29-32, 1 Tim 4:14, Acts 13:1-4. The office of prophet brings forth directive prophecy, guidance, and revelation of God's purposes to the body of Christ as well as individuals. They can be used to provide directives for services under the supervision of the pastor or other fivefold ministry leadership gifts. God also uses the prophet to reveal the secrets of men's hearts as a sign to unbelievers. Prophets will, at times, predict future events, but only for the edification and direction of the church, or to provoke repentance. Acts 11:27-30, 27:9-11, 21-26. Prophets will sometimes be used of God at certain times to pronounce His judgments. The office of the prophet has a strict standard of accountability. Your prophetic words must agree completely with the written word of God. Everything is to be rightly judged by the word of God. If the prophet speaks not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. The prophetic words from God by the prophet must come to pass. God does not lie, and neither should his prophets. The prophet is a special link to God's flow of prosperity to his people.